I'm visiting with Michaela Keenan, CEO of the Boone County Hospital. And Michaela, thanks for joining us, giving us a little update on what's going on.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Well, I watched some of the board meeting, able to catch some of that. Was fast, this last
yeah.
The last board meeting wrapping up March. Didn't take them very long, went through a lot of things. But one thing I did want to ask you, obviously, is the search for CFO. Obviously, that's still going on. Did retain. And I think we touched on this last time. You were going to have get some assistance, go to a recruiter. And sounds like they're having pretty good luck getting people that are interested.
Yeah, we ended up signing an agreement with Whitkeeper, which is a national search firm. And they are having some pretty good luck finding some candidates. The position is a hard position to fill, and it is hard to find folks that have, you know, critical access hospital experience or healthcare experience in general. And so, you know, reaching out and working with them has been really positive for us. They've been able to find some candidates that we would not have been able to find on our own. So it's been really good.
So that process, again, they are going to put together a pool of potential candidates. And then what, do they bring that to the board or bring that to you, the administrator? How's that going to work out?
Yeah, so in a couple of weeks, they will present a panel of probably 3 to 4 candidates after they have, you know, fully vetted them and interviewed them and made sure that, you know, they really want to make a move or move to a different, you know, part of the country or whatnot. So they'll present that to me and then to Steph Bowers, our director of HR, and then we'll do some Teams interviews and kind of narrow the pool and bring a couple of folks on site. The board members and our admin team will be involved in that process, and then we'll make a decision from there.
I know you were lucky with Carl. It was somebody that you were familiar with and again, kind of fit right into what we were looking for, but he got offered the better position. So, hey, so that's happened in this business, doesn't it?
It does happen. I mean, everybody's searching for qualified financial people, and so, you know, once someone knows of you, and I think that what happened in his case is, you know, people knew him from his work at Broadlands, and
sure. They
know that he's got the skill set needed, and so he got recruited away, and we did get lucky with him. He was a great find at the time, and you know, we'll just have to move forward and hope we can find someone just as good as him.
Well, it helped with your transition moving in and getting a lot of different things set up the way you wanted to. I do, and so people understand, yes, we did do a search. I mean, you did your search. The big issue was finding people with appropriate healthcare backgrounds, I think.
Yeah, I think it's challenging. You know, there are some folks that do have some background, maybe as a controller or an accountant for a hospital, but really, for me, I really wanted someone that had a little bit of CFO experience in a critical access hospital. I think that's really important because the critical access reimbursement world is so different than other healthcare. But, you know, the fact is I know that they're out there, and so it's been really nice that they've been able to find a few of them for us. But you're right that Carl and having someone with that strong background really did help me get adjusted in my first year here and got kind of the wheels moving on the bus for some of the projects that we're trying to get done today.
So for people that are wondering, we still have the staff. We still have the finance staff. And I mean, they're keeping everything moving forward for you.
Yeah, Sarah Marino, she is our controller. She's been filling the interim CFO position, and she's been doing a wonderful job for us. You know, the controller has a lot of the details anyhow, and so she's been doing great, and it's just been a good experience for her, I think, to be the interim. And, you know, we're just, yeah, everything's moving forward. We just continue to move along as we're doing the search.
So we do have, basically, as we wrapped up the month of March, I mean, we're getting down towards the end. But through February, anyway, you've got your data, your information. We don't have a lot of months left in this fiscal year. So pretty good position right now, actually. It looks like it. Again, when you get your reimbursements in a timely fashion, that's what we're waiting for.
Yeah, we're in a pretty good position. Right now, February was really strong revenue-wise. It was a really busy month. There's just some things that are outstanding, you know, that we do have to keep an eye on, like you said, is how are the payers paying? Is it happening the way it should happen? Are we making sure that, you know, we're getting everything out the door in a timely fashion? So we do a lot to make sure that we're maintaining that. And then I've maybe talked before on here about the Medicaid directed payment program.
Mm-hmm.
And we did receive our first payment today from that, and it was around $1.5 million, and that'll be a quarterly payment. So that's going to be very beneficial and make a really big impact to our bottom line here and, you know, allow us to do some of the things that we've been talking about doing facility-wise and staff-wise and things like that for quite a while.
Sure, yeah. And it's I know it's one of those things that it's all – if we have cash on hand, folks, I mean, it's not – there. That's not the issue. The issue is we do have the dollars, but there are certain things that when you want to move ahead on some of these special things, it does – you got to have. You just want to have additional resources and accounts receivable. I know those. That's all part of the bookkeeping thing. Being able to keep those within a reasonable amount of days. So,
exactly. And I think that you know some of these big projects require you to have you know certain things in order so that you can you know acquire debt if you need to.
Sure.
And so that is something that the board has been looking closely at as we've been talking about master facility planning and what can we really afford to do. So. This money will make a big difference in that and allow us to make some of those decisions.
I do know that, you know, and a lot of people don't get a chance, or if they do get a chance to see it, they look at the consent agenda and they say, you know, bad debt, Medicare bad debt, charity care thing. That's one thing that charity care is something that's already there. I mean, the hospital, you do have, because you're a county hospital, that's what you do have. You have that responsibility.
We do, yes. Critical access hospitals do have the responsibility to help provide charity care. And you know, there's a lot of social determinants of health that we're looking at right now. And ability to pay for health care is one of those. And so we do quite a bit of charity care.
So, well, let's talk about a few other things. I think the last time we were talking, and I know we didn't get a chance to go into it too much, but we had talked a little bit about some of the specialty services that were available. Mm-hmm. And over the last, I'm guessing, several years, number of months anyway, we have seen that Iowa Ortho has had more of their business, actually, they're going, staying more down in the metro area. So I know that there was some discussion going on, and we're looking at what could we do. We know Dr. Paulson's very popular every time he comes up here. So we do have a new ortho clinic that you guys have established, and you had been working on it. Again, this didn't happen overnight, folks. So this has been several months you've been working on trying to find orthopedic services that we could have locally.
Yeah, we decided to make a switch to our with our current partnership with Iowa Ortho, and so Dr. Paulson is going to be staying with us. He is a very busy in his practice here, and he does hand. If people don't know that, he's a hand specialist. And so he had his first clinic this week in the provider-based clinic, and so Iowa Ortho was there's two different setups here in the hospital where we can bring in specialists. We can either bring them into the specialty clinic where they rent space,
mm-hmm.
or we can bring them into the provider-based clinic where we essentially rent the provider.
mm-hmm.
And so they represent themselves as BCH when they're here, and so we asked Dr. Paulson to go ahead and switch over to the provider-based clinic, and so he's now, you know, he's still an Iowa Ortho doc, but he's representing yeah. himself as BCH when he's here. And so he had his first clinic in our provider-based clinic this week, and it was really successful. And then we went ahead and switched our general ortho and sports ortho. We made a partnership with Capital Orthopedics out of Des Moines, and they'll be sending three different providers here, Dr. Doerman, Dr. Peterson, and Logan Driscoll. He's a PA. They'll be coming here to do that, and that's going to start in May, and it will also function out of the same space that Dr. Paulson's working out of in our provider-based clinic, which is located where the old Gabrielson Clinic used to mm-hmm. be down in the lower level of the hospital. So it's going to be really successful. One nice thing that the Capital providers can provide that will be new for us is some fracture care, and so we'll be able to tuck in some of the people that come to our emergency room with fractured hips and whatnot, and potentially tuck those in and keep them and get those fixed here. Currently, we have been sending all of those out
mm-hmm.
to Des Moines or wherever, and
yeah.
wherever we could get them sent out to. But the issue is a lot of those hospitals are really full. Beds are hard to find, and so people were kind of just hanging out in our ER for a lot of hours, and that's not very comfortable for the patient. And so we want to try to get them comfortable, get them tucked in, and then be able to do those cases here
sure.
and just increase access to care locally.
So I know that they obviously came up, took a look at the facilities, what was going on. Your staff always sells themselves, I'll say.
Yeah.
But they bring some of their own people along with them. They always do. But what did they think? Come in, take a look at the facilities and what they're going to have to work with.
Yeah, they were really excited to come to Boone. I think it's nice because it is close to Des Moines for them, and I think a lot of specialists do quite a bit of outreach throughout the state, and we happen to be one of the closer communities to the metro, so that's really nice for them. They really liked our facilities. They were really happy with our ORs. Our ORs are really big, and they were really excited about that and just really excited to work with our team. They have a similar practice in Knoxville, and so we're sort of modeling our practice with them after their practice in Knoxville, and I think that it's going to be really, really successful. And our team has really stepped up to, you know, it was challenging to move it from specialty clinic over to the provider-based clinic, and it's just a different model. And so our team has really stepped up. They've worked really hard to get all of this going, and, you know, it's interesting because when I think about staff, I think, you know, how proud I am of what they do in the face of adversity. When things are challenging or you know, they get asked to do something with a short time frame, they just really, really, really work hard to get those things done. And I just have a great team here. So it's been, you know, a team effort to make this happen, and I'm really excited to see the impact that we can have on patients.
And for those that forget, Dr. Erickson's over on that end too, Dr. Seligman.
Dr. Erickson and Dr. Seligman are just across the hall. The ortho clinic is
on the other side.
It's on the other side, but it's still part of the clinic that those two function out of. So it's still considered the comprehensive clinic down there.
It's going to be a busy west end of the hospital there.
It is going to be really busy. You're right.
That's okay. That's all right.
Absolutely.
Because we know that over on the other side, specialty clinics remains very busy anyway as well. So we've got all of that happening. Still working on urology. I know that was another one that one of those topics that had come up, or services that came up. And I know we've had other opportunities to work with some of the other physicians over in Ames. But are they looking at doing some service over here as well?
Yeah, we are very close to signing a contract with McFarland. We've kind of gone back and forth and agreed on some stuff. We're just waiting for a final review from legal, and we're going to be getting that signed. And that will look like one of their urologists will be here 2 times a month for a half a day, and will also function out of that same space that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do some surgical procedures here. And I think we're both hoping, Boone County Hospital and McFarland, I think we're both hoping that that grows into a 2 full days a month kind of thing, and then maybe even additional time. I think that when we look at the number of referrals that we make out of our clinics for that service, we think that there probably will be the volume for that service to grow quite a bit. So we're really excited to get that here so people don't have to travel for that service.
Having visited with a few patients that actually came through the getting cataract surgery, they said still very busy in Dr. Was it Christiansen.
Yep, he is very busy. He actually had added a second day of cataracts here every month, and so that started in January, and so that's been really good too, and I think really successful. He's had some really nice things to say about our team down in the OR, and just the way we move patients through and make sure that, you know, he's happy and patients are happy, and we're making sure that, you know, he's not wasting time and that kind of a thing. We're keeping everything moving for him. So it's been really successful.
Well, emergency department, if people haven't heard the announcement or seen it, we do have a new ED, a new doctor in the emergency department.
Yeah, Dr. Crome, she'll be starting here in the beginning of April. We're really excited for her to join us. She was practicing up in Minnesota for a long time and lives in Iowa and was just hoping to find something a bit closer to home, I think. And so she's joining us, and that's going to be really exciting. We cover a lot of our emergency room shifts with like agency providers.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I've been working pretty hard since I got here to get away from that model. Not that they're not great providers. They're just not here all the time. And so I feel like one of the things that's best for patient care is if everybody knows how the organization operates and functions and those kind of things. And so you really get that better when you have your own team. And so I'm really excited for her to get here and get started.
Do want to say, yes, having to go with the agency's stuff, that does cost a little more. And again, it's great to be able to have them and be able to have them fill in. And I know you occasionally you get some of those that say, I like it here, and I think I'd like to be here all the time. So,
yes, that happened with Dr. Napier. He was filling in for us through agency in our clinic when Dr. Melhouse retired, and we ended up hiring him out of that contract to be our own employee in the ER, and he works part-time in the ER. So now in the ER, we'll have Dr. Crome, Dr. Everett, Dr. Scheffler, and Dr. Napier. And so there will be still some days that have to be filled with, you know, agency staff, but again, like you said, those people are great. It's just really costly. And there is definitely times when we need them, you know, vacation coverage or sick time, things like that, when we're happy to have those folks. But I really would prefer that we can figure out how to staff it ourselves.
Yeah. Well, quickly on the staffing side of things, as far as physicians go, we do know that Dr. Gordon's already going to be kind of filling in some, doing some PRN work, because he's getting very close to wrapping up his residency, and we'll be getting ready to go here in town. And I think, again, that's one of those things where we're getting very close to having new physicians joining the team.
Yeah, we're really excited. Dr. Gordon is going to help us fill some ER shifts also in April. And so that's really good. It'll get him kind of acclimated a little bit to the hospital. And then in June, he'll be doing his final rotations, and he's going to do that rotation here with Dr. Logan. And so that will be a very nice way for him to meet patients, for Dr. Logan to introduce him to some of the patients that he'll probably be taking over the care for. And then he'll be getting started in mid-July. And so we're really getting excited about that. You know, between now and the time when he starts, and Dr. Holmes and Dr. Hernandez, is going to be tight for the providers, because we're going to be down Dr. Teal, and we have a maternity leave. We have a whole bunch of different things that we're trying to cover. And so it is going to be tight for coverage over the summer. But once those folks get here, it's going to really, really help out.
Well, we just keep going ahead. And the clinics all seem to be doing pretty well. I know Ogden, of course, waiting for Dr. Martinez to get over there.
Dr. Hernandez, yeah.
Or Hernandez, yeah.
Yep, we're excited for that. It's been, it's been a change with Dr. Chance leaving. I think the folks that are covering there have been, you know, trying really hard to make sure that we're available and accessible. It's just been a little bit different for patients, I think. And so excited to get Dr. Hernandez there and get her started and build back up whatever patients have sort of gone somewhere else or switched to one of the other clinics during this sort of transitional time. So it'll be really nice to get that built back up.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the wins. I know you like to, and the board likes to do that too now. Now you got them trained, you know.
Yeah.
They're all looking for wins. And a lot of times it's just comments that people make to them.
Yeah, you know, I always try to keep track of the things that people say to me too, and so that I can share them with the board and with our staff. I frequently am sending, things that people say, or emails that I receive, or cards that I receive, or letters from patients. And so I think it's always really important to look at wins. So this last month I had a gentleman stop me down in the atrium and tell me that this was the best hospital in the world. And I really appreciated hearing that. And he was so passionate about the care that he's received here and our staff. And he was like, your staff are always happy and they don't seem tired. And he's like, I just love coming here. And so it means a lot to hear that. And it means a lot to staff to hear those comments, because you always wonder sometimes about the impact that you make. And so it's really nice to get that feedback from folks.
Sure. Especially since if they have to go to the hospital, it's probably not a real good day anyway.
Right. I mean, we don't always see people at their best. So it's nice when we know, you know, that we're making an impact when people are having a rough time or going through something that's really hard. But also in February, we had a few other wins. The statewide perinatal team was here. And so it's a group that comes out of the University of Iowa. And they travel across the state of Iowa to different OB units and do a review of cases. And they look at quality, and they look at the newborns and how the newborns are taken care of. And they look at how you took care of the moms and some of the, you know, challenging cases that you had and how you handled it. And so they were here on February 29th, and they just gave us such a glowing review of our OB services. I was so proud of our providers and our FBC staff. They just had great things to say about us. And, you know, it's really interesting because they did mention the OB deserts that are happening in the state right now. And they mentioned all of the units that have closed since 2000. I think it was around 40 units. And that is a lot. And so I'm really proud of the fact that we work hard to keep maintaining the OB services that we do, because so many people aren't doing that. And they were just really complimentary. And so I think that meant a lot to our team, because it's kind of like the 5-star rating and what I've said about that.
Mm-hmm.
That really high quality care is available right here in Boone.
I was going to say, through the middle of the month anyway, what, we're around 30 births already?
Yeah.
And going up? Yeah.
Yeah, it's going up. We're on track to deliver 111 now this fiscal year, and we always end up delivering one or two that we didn't plan on, and so it'll be interesting to see at the end of June what this year really looked like. Our staff have been busier, and you know, that's really good, too, because it helps the staff stay competent and busy and all of that. So that was really exciting news. And then I did talk about our Medicaid directed payment that we received today. That is going to be a huge win for the organization, and we'll be able to do a lot of great things with that. The orthopedic clinics, and then, there's just so many good things going on. I think the staff talked about a lot of good things yesterday, and so it's just really an exciting time.
I got to say, the last time we talked, and I said, I knew it was coming quick because I saw the MRI trailer in there. Since then, we got to see the magnet coming out, the walls open up, magnet coming out. That project moving ahead very quickly. And for people that are wondering, you're going, why do you need a new MRI? The old one, basically, new technology, it just was wearing out. And we are really getting a state-of-the-art system that'll be coming in.
Yeah, technology like an MRI or a CT machine, I mean, they do hit end of life, and there's new technology, and we want to bring that to patients and provide the best care that we can. So the new MRI is in the process of being put in. It should be done around June, I think, is when we're going to open that up to patients for use. But, we can add breast MRIs. We're not currently doing those. And then we'll also be able to get more patients through the MRI in a day because it is a little quicker on how much time it takes to do a study. So I think that's going to be nice because we'll be able to, serve and meet the needs of people a little bit better.
Busy place over there. Again, throw in a quick reminder here for folks that was going to be part of the Relay for Life Salad Social. We are getting
We're going to sell luminaries at Relay for Life. They are going to be $10 each. And I think the luminaries was something that used to happen and has sort of gone away. And Project Be the Light is really excited to bring those back. And so we're going to do that. And then later in April, we're doing a GLOW event, which is a walk-run like the Relay for Life walk used to be, but it's going to be condensed down to an hour. It's at the Geppinger Field, and it'll be just a really good event, and we can do the luminaries there as well.
Okay, and that used to be it when we would get out and actually do that relay, but we haven't been able to do that here for a little while, so looking forward to bringing that back, too. It's been a great visiting with you. Busy. You guys are very busy.
Very busy. Lots going on.
I do appreciate it, and thanks so much. We'll visit with you again next month, okay?
Thanks, Jim. Sounds good.